Hey guys, this is Corey Parker, Supercoach God, and you are listening to the Supercoach Champions podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here, as always, with Catfish. I'm joined again by our reigning champion turned head-to-head specialist. That's Matty White. He's jumping on doing the double shift this week. Matty, good to have you on again. We talked through plenty last night in terms of the teams and diving into some more specific topics tonight. Firstly, have you had any changes of heart in terms of your thoughts on your trades from yesterday?
Mate, the best part about jumping onto the podcast is I don't have to spend time listening to it afterwards. And after chatting through you yesterday, I've definitely gone Greg Marju next week, mate. He's a definite in. I've got him penciled in. Still going Luttrell this week. So no change of heart from on the air last night. But, yeah, really glad to be chatting through with yourself. So, all the people listening, definitely keep your ears out.
Definitely. We've got some interesting topics. So as always, going to crunch some numbers, got doing a bit of pod hunting. In that segment, we'll chat through our thoughts on captaincy. And we're going to finish off just by, reminiscing. No, not really. Talking through what it'd be like, in top 10 at this stage of the season, when you're leading, when you're not, when you're chasing, just talking through those scenarios and what we would do if we were there this year. So without further ado, let's jump straight into some number crunching. Crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clock. All right. Thanks as always to our good friend Carl McGrath, accountant, for sponsoring the segment Crunching the Numbers. You want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes. Make sure you get Carl to help you out. So like I said, we're looking at basically points of difference. We're going pod hunting. I mean, at this stage of the season, that's how you need to differentiate yourself, right? You've got to take some risks and jump on players that aren't so popular, basically. And, you know, there are some competitive edges that you can dig out from it. So some of these names will come across pretty scary. I'll come out and say it straight away, but I guess you could say we're looking at, you know, their price tag, the position they're in, and also looking at how they've been traveling. So we'll start from the top. So I know we've said for ages, Harry Grant or bust at hooker. I still think that's the case, but there's a couple of names that actually have been traveling better than Harry Grant in the last couple of rounds. First, right at the top is Lachlan Croker, of all names, would you believe, averaging 77.7 over the last three games he's played, sitting with he's at 584,300. So, you know, about 50 grand cheaper than Harry Grant. And, I mean, Harry's sitting there at a 68 average over the last three games, including that 36 there. So, you know, only 1.8% of teams Lachie Croaks is. Is he someone you could even think about at this stage of the season?
Mate, I think I'd even look past Lachie Croker in draft comps, so that doesn't say much for his warrant in Classic. Very surprised to hear that name, and I don't think I could trust him. Obviously, there's got to be quite a bit of attacking stats for him to get up to that 78, and I don't think that can continue. Manly don't have the softest draw, but they are going well. I couldn't consider Croker, mate, not for my Classic team.
Yeah, I mean, his last three scores are 67, 82, and 84. The 84, he's got a try and a try assist in there. Line break assist, kicked a 40-20, so he's, you know, gotten into his work there. The other two games, he doesn't actually have any attacking stats aside from one try contribution. He's, you know, one game he had 53 tackles. So getting through his work, and I guess it's hard to trust because he's never really done it. You look at the rest of his season and they're not bad. Like, he had 109 back in round 15. But aside from that, his other scores are sitting around the 50, 60, and there's a couple of 40s and 30s in there thrown in as well. So I think I'm with you as well. That's probably a risk I'm not really chasing, and I guess it's not. The upside just isn't there, right? The risk is probably too great for Harry there. I'm going to jump over the front row forward position. So, you know, a lot of the higher scoring players, you know,
you've got Big Tino. He's got the best three-round average at front row forward. Fenua Blake's on the bye this round. Joey Tarpane, most people have him already. Same with Corey Horsburgh. And then we get to Mitch Barnett, who is on the bye as well. And look, let's face it, he was playing on the edge when he got those points. So let's skip past him. But Mo Fotuaika sitting with a three-round average of 71, 602,600, just scored 66 last round. I mean, the fact that Tino not being there has definitely helped Mofo. And that's the case for the next 2 weeks, right? So at the price tag, I definitely don't mind it. But we talk about this a lot, right? It's just not quite the position you're really chasing and targeting for a pod, is it?
No, no. If you had to make the trade up there because you had Tino out or someone else out, Mofo's not a bad option. As you say, 2 weeks are looking very sweet for him. And then even when Tino's back, he definitely gets the minutes to get reasonable scores. But yeah, look, I don't think anyone's got 10 trades left. And unless I had 10 trades, I wouldn't be playing that game.
Yeah, and he's kind of just gone under the radar all season. You look at his scores and it's not just the last three, four rounds. Like he started the year with a 49, 38, 32. So that's not great. But then since then, I mean, he's had 55 and 53. Those are his lowest scores since then. And he's crunched out a 78, 72, 66, 69. So plenty of good scores mixed through. He's very meat and potatoes, though. And he's never really going to, I mean, I don't think he's got to try at all. So, yeah, I think that's the reality there. But as you say, if you've got Tino, you need to free up cash. Jumping to his teammate probably isn't the worst call there. But again, not really a position I'm targeting. Now we'll move to the back row. This is where it gets a little bit interesting. Obviously, you know, so many of us have Jermaine Hopgood. A lot of us have Britton Okoro and Dave Fifita. That's a no-brainer. That's why I forgot about him. But yeah, there is question marks, I guess you could say. I mean, I'll give you one guess. Who do you think is the highest averaging back row over the last couple of rounds?
Oh, wow, under the spotlight.
Off the top of your head, who do you think it might be?
Top of my head. I don't think it's this guy, but is Bryce Cartwright up there? Has he been going good?
He's not too bad. He's averaged 70 over the last three rounds, so it's not a bad shout. But the guy I've got here is actually averaging 20 points better than Bryce Cartwright. It's Lachlan Fitzgibbon. He's sitting at a 90.3 three-round average. And fresh off a 76 here, 606,400. So I guess, you know, it's safe to say a lot of this is off the back of Ponga doing some great work. 141 against the Bulldogs a couple of rounds ago. But since then, 54 and 76. He's had his struggles. You know, he's had a couple of games there. Just injury, not being able to finish the game, coming off of HIAs, all that type of stuff. But yeah, he's playing 80 minutes the last 3 weeks and gone really, really well. So, you know, we talked about having Marju or taking a punt on the outside backs. Lockie Fitz, really reasonable price. He's obviously going to benefit from that sweet draw, and Pong is still going to him. So I'm actually really quite interested in that. I've got Lockie Fitz in a couple of draft comps. Just picked him up off free agency a couple of weeks ago and loving it. It was great when I had him for the 141.
Yeah, that's a big score for a back row, isn't it?
It's rare. I mean, that's, you know, Angus Crichton's done it. And I mean, Nat Butcher, I think, as well, when he scored four tries, but it doesn't happen too often. So, look, would you take a punt on Lockie Fitz head-to-head finals?
Definitely not the worst shout, hey. Like, get yourself a proper stack there. If you've got Ponga and Lockie Fitz, or even Lockie Fitz and Marju, you can really double up on some good Newcastle fun. Again, I struggle to trust Lockie Fitz, but he's proven it this year. Like, his average for the last three rounds might be 90, but he's killed it the whole year, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some dodgy games here and there, and part of it's because of injury, but when he's played 80, he's been pretty solid. So I think he's always been better for Supercoach than he has been on the field. We'll move to the next position. Look, it's halfback. I don't think there's a real, I mean, we've talked about it, right? It's Nico, Cleary, Sean Johnson. I mean, we joked about Daly Cherry Evans last night, and I think we agree, like, even he's a bit too risky. I think we'll just skip over this position. Surprisingly, though, Adam Reynolds, actually a three-round average of 83. Moving to 5'8", so Kalen Ponga is streets ahead. He's got a three-round average of 137.7. So, you know, hopefully you got Ponga. But the next name here is actually Thomas Dearden, 96.7 three-round average. He costs an arm and a leg, though. He's sitting at 844,700. It's kind of insane how he's that expensive. But we think about the Tigers game, 179 is what he scored. And before that, he had a 95 and 118 as well. So 54 and 57 in the last two games. So they're okay, but you'd be disappointed if you jumped on after that three-game stretch there. I think it's just too much money, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's too much money, and there's definitely better options there. If you throw Ponga, Walker, Munster, there's better guys. Even if you're really frisky, Dylan Brown's got better super coach pedigree than him, and he's back shortly. But, if you're on that Cowboys train, if you had Dearden, Drinkwater and Val Holmes over the last couple of weeks, you wouldn't have been much fun to play against.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned though Walker and Munster and whatever. Like Munster's got his three-round average is the 10th best at that position. Walker, 16th best at 56.7 three-round average there. So I guess, you know, this could have been a position if you took the punt on a Dearden or even a Jerome Luai. 78.7 three-round average, you would have been able to cash in. But yeah, I think I'm with you. You trust the pedigree of a Munster and even a Cody Walker with the matchup this week over some of those other left field options. So getting to the center wing position, this is obviously really interesting. I'll give you another guess. Who do you think is the highest averaging center wing last three rounds? Straight up the top of your head.
Top of my head, I got nothing. Well, absolutely nothing.
Ah, come on. What if I gave you a hint?
Yeah, I'm going to need one.
He played Origin.
Best. Bradman Best.
Got it. 99.3, three-round average. 708,400. So he's pricey, but 2% ownership. And yeah, I mean, he's obviously cashed in on that Bulldogs game, 152, but 64 and 82 since then. So, you know, you talked about jumping on Greg Marju, and I mean, that's the percentage play, isn't it? He's the guy who's in 18.7% of teams. He's been killing it for pretty much all season since he's been in the team. He's got a free round average of 91 and a season average of 79.5, but I guess Best is outperforming him. And, you know, if you want to take the, I guess, the anti-Port route on Romaggio and still get a piece of the Knights' back line, Best might not be the worst option, I suppose, because I think Ponga is going to him more. And Best, is he's in good form. He's obviously got a lot of confidence right now. So, yeah, I don't mind that. But speaking of someone who's looking at getting Craig in next week, would you be tempted?
No, I play Supercoach with a little bit too much emotion sometimes, I think, and I just don't like Bradman Best as a guy. So, no, we're going Greg Marju.
Not a fan of his tattoo sleeve that he went
No, with. not the tattoos, not the Bali trip on the bye. I just can't get around you, Bradman. You've got to win me over.
I'll throw another name out there that's a little bit interesting. This guy does have a bit more Supercoach pedigree, has a three-round average of 98.3. It's actually Zach Lomax, 654,800. And, you know, fresh off 115 and 138 the round before. So, you know, the Dragons, look, we don't talk about them much. Their run home is not that good, to be fair. Seagulls, Eels, Bunnies, Storm, Warriors, and then the Knights in round 27. But, I mean, he's got a lot of Supercoach pedigree. For the most part, he's very safe points-wise. He's, you know, highly involved, and the Dragons can score some points. He's going to kick some goals, but yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to risk, you know, late season on Zach Lomax. He's only 1.5% of teams, though.
Yeah, you're risking it on both Zach Lomax and the Dragons, right? You only need one of them to fall down and it's gone. But I'm sure we'll get to this a little later in the pod, Wilf. But I know I look back just this time last year, there was a couple of guys in the top 10 that had Zach Lomax and I didn't. And I was actually nervous watching Dragons games because he was going really well and putting up good numbers. So you don't have to look back far to see his pedigree.
That's a fair shout. And to finish up with, I just wanted to throw Semi Valame out there. 2.8% teams, sitting on a three-minute average of 80.3, fresh off a 79. Look, he didn't do much when he was at the Raiders, and there were some question marks about how he'd go at the Cowboys. But, look, he's keeping Kyle Felt out of that right wing spot. First game, 114 against the Storm, and then 37-37 against the Panthers and the Bunnies, then 117 against the Tigers, 45 against the Seagulls, and obviously 79 against the Eels. So he's obviously a lot cheaper than the rest of the premium Cowboys options like Val and Drinky, obviously, but he's cashing in on a lot of Drinky's work. So I don't mind him as a bit of a smoky if you wanted to take some risks on that right side there. All right, and then the final position is fullback. Look, we kind of talked about it yesterday, right? It's, you know, Drinky if you can afford it. It's Teddy if you're trusting that Roosters pedigree. There's Ponga if you don't have him at 5'8". Gutho, a lot of people are jumping off him because of the Eels draw and the round 27 bye. Reece Walsh, we kind of talked about it, but yeah, just not too keen. There's really not that many names that you could look at here. So I think it might be a case of just keep it simple. And obviously we got Latrell coming back, who might be the best of those options. Any other names you'd want to think about there? Dylan Edwards, 16.2% of teams actually, but...
Yeah, he's a consistent plotter, isn't he? Consistently average around that 60. Just I'm disappointed we skipped past center wing and a bloke that's in 3.5% of teams. He's 549,000 and his name is Matt Tomoko.
Fair enough. I knew you'd bring him up again. But, I mean, he hasn't gone that well, right? What's his fair on average?
He's gone 43, 122, 53. So the 122 is probably propping that up to somewhere like, I don't know, high 60s.
Yeah, 72.73 on average. So fair enough there. But I will point out, like, that's the 20th best three on average of the center wing. So, look, I don't mind it, honestly. We talked about it yesterday. It's not a bad shout because we've seen he hit 700K off the back of a number of good scores. So could do a lot worse. We'll finish up there for the number crunching for today. So definitely get in touch with Carl as it's well and truly tax time. You can get Carl to do a tax return and he'll legally maximize your tax refund. Whether it's just a basic tax return or you're accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on share trading, even crypto, Carl can help you out and record everything correctly. And there's no job that's too big or too small, whether you get a small individual tax return all the way through to being a business that's run through companies, partnerships, or you've got a trust, Carl can help you out. And he'll be the one who does all your work for you. Being a small business owner, you'll speak directly with Carl. You're not going to talk to a robot or a minion from overseas or anything like that. Carl does everything himself. So don't forget, he's still got his Supercoach Champions podcast listeners special. $99 for a basic tax return. Or even if your tax return isn't basic, he'll look after you on price.
Good morning, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right. It's a very interesting week for captaincy, I think, and we'll dive straight into it. So vice captaincy, as always, we're sticking to the first couple of games here. First one being the Broncos and the Roosters. Look, I'm not really searching for a vice captain here, but if I was, I mean, it's either Walsh or Teddy, right, if you had either of them.
Yeah, mate, pretty simple there.
Straight on to the second game, which is the Tigers and the Bunnies. Obviously, Latrell, Cody, Alex Johnston, if you want to get frisky. Would you straight captain any of them or would you risk the vice captaincy first?
I guess that's the question, isn't it? That's the big question. And I'm toying it with it myself. But maybe if, say, Latrell had played four games and there was no chance of re-injury, but you could really wipe that out, it sort of would make me more inclined to captain him. And if Cleary wasn't playing and there was no one else later in the round, I think to me, I'm just going to go the vice captain. But there is definitely a world where a straight C on Latrell, a lot of people have got a nightmare still in their team. So you definitely get a jump on those guys if he does go big. I don't have the balls, but VC for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is kind of very similar to that situation just last week, right? Nathan Cleary, straight C, straight back off a decent length injury layoff. Nico Hines back in round four. Had a longer than expected injury layoff and straight C. That worked wonders. Cleary was okay. It wasn't fantastic. I guess it's how much you have confidence in Latrell. I think if you can, vice captain is definitely the percentage play. So I tend to think that would be the way I'd lean. And I suppose if you had to vice captain someone for the next game, probably Cam Munster would be the only one I'd think about. But yeah, probably not. Moving to the captaincy options. So Munster may be in the conversation for a straight captain if you wanted to. But I think Ponga, is he in consideration here?
He's been on fire. I would have, like, go back 5 weeks, it's not a chance. But you're right, at the moment, it's definitely in the question. I can't quite get around Ponga when you've got guys like Cleary there. But, definitely not a bad option.
I think, like, fullbacks against the Raiders have been doing pretty well. So he's definitely in the conversation for myself there. It's tougher if, let's say, you've got, like, a Cody Walker or you know, Latrell, depending whether where you've got Ponga. If he's behind one of those two, then you can't obviously vice captain and then captain the other. But, you know, ideally he's in the opposite to one of those positions and you could go the VC on one Bunnies player and captaincy on Ponga. I suppose you mentioned Nathan Cleary. I think he is obviously, he's playing at home. He's always such a safe option. I think he's probably the number one captaincy pick for this round. If you have him in your team, it's just so safe. Look, Nico Hines on the other side of that game, I think we'd have to say that would be very much a captain risky type move, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You would probably get Nico at the lowest captaincy percentage you would have in quite some time if you had those kind of balls. And you would think nobody, if you're captaining him, no one's vice-captaining him, right? It's late in the round, so you definitely got a free run at Nico if you want to put the C on him.
Jeez, that's tough, isn't it? I can't imagine trying to captain Nico this round. I mean, he's still, how many of these are zombie teams? But 23.2% right now, still captaining Nico. Cleary's at 17.8%, and then you've got Ponga at 5.6%. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think, you'd be pretty bold to captain Nico. And then last couple of games, I mean, Dave Fifita is always in consideration there. I suppose if we're looking at it, he does potentially get to run a new edge back role with Nanai out. So Townsend plus rookie, and there might be a meat pie on offer there. So I didn't mind that as a shout. Obviously, Scotty Drinks on the other side or Val, both are great options, I imagine, against the Titans. Even if it's the Titans at home, it's the Titans. So, and the Cowboys are the Cowboys right now. I kind of feel like that's probably, I don't know, are there any other names you want to throw out there? But I feel like we covered it all in pretty good detail.
Yeah, we did. We did. I'd love to just get your opinion, Wilf, on the VC. If you had both Cody and Luttrell, who would you throw the blue armband on?
You've got to go with, I definitely think you'd go with Luttrell, just a safer kind of option generally, even with the injury risk there. Cody's been a little bit off the boil, and I wonder if, with Luttrell back, maybe Cody takes a bit of a backseat, lets him get involved and get warmed up again, so to speak. I think I'd lean that way. But, it may be a situation of, where you have Ponga, if you've got Ponga behind one of them, to let that make the determining call. If he's at fullback, you can VC Cody. If he's at 5'8", then VC Trell and Captain Ponga might be the play. So for me, I think I am struggling because I've got Cody at 5'8", and I've got Ponga at 5'8". I think it's either I'm going to Captain Fifita, or if I bring in Luttrell, then VC Luttrell and Captain Ponga. Where are you sitting at the moment?
I'm VC Luttrell, Captain Cleary at the present.
It's a no-brainer, I think. If you got Cleary, I would struggle to go past, obviously, chasing that Cleary. I mean, we just had to look at that Sharks left edge get torn apart last round by DCE. So it makes me good to know that I've got Brian To'o at least, because they could be cashing in on some couple of pies there, hopefully. Even though I don't have Cleary, I'll still benefit from him.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, so it is round 22. There are 6 rounds of Supercoach left. Now, I don't know how much you remember from last year, but you were in the lead, obviously. How much were you leading by?
I think with about sort of 5-ish rounds to go, I remember looking and it was about 200, 250 from second place.
All right, I think that's a very solid lead. I think if I remember, round 22 was when things got really shaky for me. It was my worst kind of round. I was getting in my own head, making some wild decisions. I think I benched a Bryce Cartwright, who was an absolute gun that year. He scored 120. I think I benched someone else who scored 115. Yeah, it wasn't my finest hour. And I think my lead had gotten cut down to sub 100 when I'd had a lead for 200-300 points for weeks, basically. So I kind of feel very similar to Sam, who's the coach of Wolfpack, our current leader, who's got a 51-point lead. And prior to this week, I mean, his lead got, he probably lost about 121 points off his lead just this round. So I kind of feel very similar to where Sam might be feeling. Now, I suppose my question for you is, imagine you're in Sam's shoes. What's the play? Now you've taken a hit. You've lost 120-odd points on your lead. 6 rounds to go. What do you do this week?
I think the first thing is, and I'm sure Sam is similar to how I was, and I'm sure you were as well, he could name the 25 players in everybody's team in the top 10. I think try and you've got to try and stay away from that rider, especially at only a 51-point lead. Don't try and catch someone because there's probably 10 or 20 people that can seriously catch you. So I wouldn't try sort of limit someone's pods there. I did it last year and I regretted it as soon as I did it. I remember trading in Swali'i because he was killing it at the time and the guy coming second had him. And ever since I traded him in, he went disgracefully. So look, run your own race, Sam. You've got there for a reason. But look, if you don't have Latrell, I probably should know what your team is. If you don't have Latrell, get him in this week, please.
Yeah, so I think this is where it's quite interesting. I understand what you're saying there, but when I think back to why you took the risk on Suoli'i as a trade-in, because I think that was around he was playing the Tigers, right?
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Conceded 73 points, I think, to the Roosters or something ridiculous, right? 70-plus the Roosters put on, and Suoli'i didn't score a single try. So that is just, I mean, like I think I talked about it last year, but if you had traded in, sorry, if you knew the score was going to be 70-6 or whatever it was, you'd pick up the one of the wingers, right? It was either Tupou or Suoli'i, and, you know, it made perfect sense. It just didn't work out that way because who would have thought, you know, 7 tries would get scored between the edge back rowers or something ridiculous like that. Yeah, no, I think if you look at the top 10, right, because the gap from first to 10th is actually quite decent. It's still like 321 points, give or take. So it's certainly not insurmountable, but with 6 rounds to go, I mean, that's basically 50-60 points per week that they've got to catch up, which when this is, I guess, where the player ownership really comes into it, because you think about how many common players the top 10 have with each other. And this is where I'm going to give the shout out to the Rugby League Fantasy Pro. Their app, Supercoach Pro, is super useful. Honestly, if I had this tool available to me, like I had to manually look up every single team. And it was even frustrating because my year, and I've talked about this in the past, but my year was randomly the one year where they didn't show you the top, like the full 25 squad. They only showed you who was in the top 17 that was played the previous round. So I didn't know if people were trading guys out or if they just benched them or anything like that. So it was not fun. And apparently every single other year it was fine to them for them to know every single other player in the team. But anyway, this tool will save you so much time. Honestly, there's a player ownership tab. You can basically filter by, you know, the top 10, 50, 100 and see how many teams in the top 10. For example, right now, every team in the top 10 currently has Nikura, Manu, Tapene, Ponga and Garrick. And 9 of them have Fifita and Hines and Drinky. 8 of them have Grant, Hopgood and Bateman. So you can see who the popular players are. And this is, I guess, where you kind of think, well, which of these 100% owned teams do I, 100% owned players, is there guys that I might jump off? And we talked about it, like maybe a Ruben Garrick is someone you might think about moving off. I mean, Joey Manu possibly with the Roosters traveling the way they are. But, you know, is Manu about to go on like a Roosters-inspired run post-Origin like they always seem to do? Like these are kind of things I'd be tossing up there to think about. But I think this is where, without knowing what the other teams in the top 10 have, because for me, again, this is what I did. I looked at what players I had and didn't have compared to the people chasing me. So for me, it was like Ben Barmer and Josh Mansour, who were players not in my team that were making up ground. And I had some other players that were doing okay, but they weren't, like they were being outscored 10 points per game per week, basically. So one of my last trades was to bring in Josh Mansour. So then I didn't have to worry about them. Like I think every other team except mine had Mansour in the top 10. So that's kind of the head-to-head strategy you'd play, right? When you're playing, you're not really just playing head-to-head with second or third or whatever. You're head-to-head with the top 10 or the top 20, whatever. So when you've got, say, a 300-point lead, you don't have to really worry about that guy, right? When you've got a 51-point lead or whatever it is, then you're probably focusing a little bit more on their team. But I suppose that's the beauty of head overall, right? You can't just ignore everyone else around you. And I guess this is where it's fun because we've seen like big swings, like 120, 200-point swings in just one week. So it's going to be a really fun watch to see how they're going. I suppose, you know, let's move away from Sam. Let's look at maybe second or third, for example. Now, again, this Supercoach Pro app is incredible because we know that Sam's only got 2 trades left. And you look at the other teams, and you can actually see how many trades they've got in the bank. So second still has 8 trades. Would you believe that? Which is wild to me.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And third has 3 trades. So you can, you know, again, if you go on to the Supercoach Pro subscriptions, it's worth its weight in gold, honestly, if you're up to pointy end there. So I suppose with second, you know, you'd argue maybe is in the box seat with having 8 trades left. I know there's a little bit of controversy. I'm not sure if you've heard about the name change.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
So the team name is Mac McClung. The owner, the coach, is currently listed as Ben. A couple of rounds ago, apparently that was Belinda, not Ben. So I'm not sure, because I don't know if you've tried, but I don't think I can change my team's, like, I can change my team name, but I can't change the name of the coach in charge of that team. So I'm not sure what's happened here, why the name's changed. Again, I'm not sure, but I just thought it was interesting. I know some super coaches out there who are keeping a really close eye on the situation, you know, guys in the top 10 have been very curious about it, to put it lightly. But yeah, sorry, a bit of a tangent there, but I guess you can argue they might be the favorite right now with 8 trades to go. I think when you got 8 trades, like, what are you doing? Like, are you just playing it patient? Are you trying to chase them down now? Or
I think you've got the license to thrill a little bit, right? You can go for risky, play some matchup games. Like, whereas if someone's got a good 2-game run, but the next 4 after that are no good, you'd struggle to bring them in if you had not many trades. But Belinda or Ben, they can probably play that game. I see they're both sort of running Harry Grant and no one, so it'd be good to have one trade there for that if that debacle does happen.
Yeah, I mean, for Sam, the coach of Wolfpack, I mean, he's a very classic kind of just go hard or go home, try to hang on as long as he can. I guess this is where, you know, you've got to decide if you've got 8 trades, do you just, you know, super coaches really is a war of attrition this season. Like, just having trades in hand to cover guys getting injured or suspended could be the move you just need to make. I will note that the team in fifth, KD's Killers, they have 10 trades left. So I'm like in awe to have 10 trades at this time of the season, because that's very impressive. But yeah, there's a couple of other teams there who've done pretty well saving trades there. I don't know if I can say this, but the team in seventh, Scat Lovers. Oh dear. They have 8 trades and a boost left. 2 boosts. They've only used 3 boosts so far. So it's quite an impressive control, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I'm playing head to head, so I should be trying to save trades, and I've only got 4 left and no boosts. So yeah, that's serious impressive control.
Yeah. So I think that's really interesting. Like, at this stage, I think you probably wouldn't expect anyone outside the top 10 to be able to chase down the leader. I think if you're the leader, you really need to stay. I'd save at least 1 trade left. I'd probably try grab Latrell if you don't have him. And that's probably, I mean, I think that's the move people would be making against me, right? So that's how I would play it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other advice for those chasing, perhaps?
With the trades, yeah, I would, and I said this last year after winning, I'd get really, really fancy on trying to chase some 3-game. Like Greg Marju, if you don't have him, bring him in next week for the 2-game run. Try and stock up on some Souths players for the next couple of games. Like, if you don't have Campbell Graham or AJ or even maybe Kalama Tungi, try and get frisky on matchups. And yeah, like, look at this time last year, as you say, Nat Butcher scores 4, Angus Crichton scores 3 tries. So you can definitely snag it in one game.
Yeah, and I think the other suggestion I have, especially if you've got trades in hand, I mean, if you can get to round 27 with 3 trades and a boost left, that would be a game changer, because you could potentially chase 300 points in a week. If, let's say, carnage strikes, team lists are horrible, 3 or 4 guys are injured, the Eels are out as well on their bye, you could have some guys playing with 12 and perfect opportunity. If you've got 16 or 17 and heaps of other teams only have 12 or 13 running out that week, you're catching up hundreds of points in one hit. So I think that's the way I would play if I could hang on to those trades. Like, I've got 3, right? And I'm trying to see if I can make it work that I just still at least have 1 trade for the final round. I doubt I will, but you can be hopeful, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, hope's not a strategy, Will. Hope is not a strategy.
Hey, it worked for me in 2016. So, all right, we do have one question that came in from one of our champs. So, Jumbles, he asked, do I bring in a front row forward, for example, Payne Haas, so I have 2 this week? Or do I run enough and bring in 2 players with high upside, for example, Cody or Munster or maybe Brian Tor as well. So I'm assuming, you know, he must have Tohu Harris or Fanua Blake or whatever. Maybe he's got Tino as well and just doesn't have a second front row forward. So wants to know if it's better just to bring in a front row forward to cover this week and obviously moving forward or chasing the upside. So I don't know if he's got any AE nightmares. So that's probably one thing to wonder about there. But if let's just assume he's got decent AEs, like there's no nightmares. He doesn't have Sonny Luke. He doesn't have someone like that. What would you think is the play here?
It's tough because Payne Haas is the first game. Like if Payne Haas wasn't the first game, it'd be somewhat easier and you could bring in Trell or Cody, throw the VC. If he nails it, you're running. I guess there's a couple of thoughts out there. Maybe if Tarpany's not the front rower that you do have, but I assume if you don't have any Warriors and you don't have Plain Haas, you don't have Tino, Tarpany's probably the front rower you have, but you could make that your run at it. So put your VC on Trell. If Trell goes no good, bring in Tarpany. But yeah, it's definitely tougher. I'd probably be bringing in Payne Haas just because and relying on getting your captaincy choice right, whether it be Cleary, whether it be someone. That'd be how I'd play it.
Yeah, I guess if you do have some AE nightmares, then yeah, you can't run the gauntlet. I think if that's the case, I'd bring in a front row forward. But I don't mind what you're suggesting with maybe you skip Payne and you look at a Tarpane or a Corey Horsburgh. Maybe you look at, you know, Matt Lodge, Ruben Cotter, or Mo Fotuaker. There's some other names that I think you could consider bringing in if you want to take the punt on vice captaining, you know, someone with like a Latrell, that level of upside. So I think that's how I would play it as well. All right, plenty of chat on a whole heap of stuff this week. I don't envy those up to pointy end. I remember how stressful it was, even though it was, you know, such an exciting time, right? Obviously, wouldn't exchange that for anything. But yeah, it's nice to be able to sit back and hypothetically consider what I would do if I was in that position rather than having to make the one actually making those decisions. So good luck to those up the pointy end and good luck with your head-to-head matchups this week. I still haven't decided what I'm doing. Like I can't work if I want to get Latrell or not as much as I think I should, but it's going to cost me two trades. And as you can imagine, with only three left, it's a dicey one.
Yeah, that's a lot of your bank, isn't it?
Yep. Anyway, more things to ponder. Thanks for jumping on again, Matt. We will no doubt catch you again, not for a couple of weeks because I think you're pretty busy with work, but afterwards we'll try to get you on once more before the end of the year, eh?
Yeah, sounds good, mate. Thanks, eh?
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you again soon.